Paul, based on your schedule, what makes this the good game for Lauren Brossoit to get back in here tonight?
We got back-to-back coming up. Lauren's played exceptionally well. And we want to keep him in that rotation.
Connor, being from Michigan, was there any hesitation to maybe flip that?
I thought about it, but not really.
In terms of the rest of the lineup, I'm going to go with the same personnel and the lines that finished the game.
Correct.
So this will be, I guess, the third straight game that your top six now looks a little different at the start of each game. Is that a good thing?
No, I mean, you'd prefer to have your lines going the way you'd like and everybody playing to their optimum, but it's also not necessarily a bad thing because we change those lines around, move those person around a fair amount, and it's good to get used to doing that. So when you do it in a game, it's not a shock. It's going to happen over and over again over the course of the year.
Well, you talked about Kyle Connor becoming a driver. I mean, what can his speed do to help create opportunities for Patrick Laine?
Well, the first connection isn't Kyle Connor to Patrick Laine. It's Kyle Connor to Brian Little. There's a chemistry there. You see it 4-on-4. You see it 3-on-3. They move off each other. Kyle is an easy straight line player to play with. That would be very close to what Brian Little played with almost his whole career, that kind of certainty in a game. You don't need all three guys to play that, so Patty will... both those other guys can make plays. Patty's got some size to him, find holes. We'd like him to control the puck in the offensive zone. And then we'll switch it later.
You guys always speak about staying in the moment and not looking ahead, but it would be hard, I guess, to not... knowing what's on the rest of this trip, Toronto tomorrow and then Finland. So how do you stay in the moment and just focus on tonight?
Yeah, I don't think we have as big a challenge with that as probably you guys do. Preparing for the next day, Toronto seems to be a big game. So for our group, you know, we have a long enough memory to know this game sets up exactly like this game last year did, except we were coming off a 5-0 win against Ottawa and we weren't very good in here and they were. They'd struggled the game before. Coach wasn't happy. Had some hard practices. It's the exact same setup. So this will be a hard gap game. I don't know that it's an advantage, but Toronto systems and Detroit systems, both coaches work together, are very, very similar. The idea is similar. So that should play into a bit of our prep advantage. We know what we're going to see in here tonight. But, you know, we've got areas of our game that we need to get better, and the opponent is not primary for us right now. We prep for them, but there's pieces of our game we need to improve.
So you expect, considering how they played their last game, you expect Detroit to look totally different?
I would watch the Tampa game a lot closer than I would watch their last game. I'll find their best game in their last two or three, and we would expect that.
Jeff Blashill's coached Jacob Trouba when he was kind of coming up through the league, and he said one of the things that impressed him is his willingness to take on the shutdown role with that pair. Was that an easy process along the way?
So it wasn't the original process. Josh Morrissey kind of came into the league playing with Dustin Byfuglien. Jake Trouba came in playing with Mark Stewart. You know, you put him with a veteran guy to kind of take care of him. And then both those young players got better. And long before we did it, we started to talk about in the coach's room, what about putting the two kids together?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be something Josh Morrissey might have been the driver to that. Jake was ready for it. Josh kind of came into the league, and then from day one, all of a sudden, from being an offensive defenseman, became a very good defensive defenseman. And we kind of thought, probably a month or two before we put him together, that we were going to that at some point. The two of them have chemistry. I'm not surprised. Like, Jake's a really all-around defenseman. He can be very physical. He can be very hard in his own end. But you see the overtime game winner. He times the net as well as any of our defensemen. When to get in, when to get out, when to take a chance. That part of his offensive mind is really strong.
Has he always been that way, or is that something that's...
No, I think
strong?
He has. I mean, I didn't have him his first year in the league. I wasn't here, but he put up some numbers. And then go through that transition where you got to learn how to defend in this league, and then he's come out of it and he's able to do both.
Yeah, he said one of the things that, like, mentally he now has maybe a scouting report on the better players around the league now that he's started to get facing more often.
So I think probably goalie's number one, but then defenseman number two. you know, the first 2 years, the young guys come in, they don't even, they're not aware of who they're on the ice with. They don't know who's on the ice against them. And then as they get through it, especially in that role, you're very aware. They have to, well, first of all, they have to find the best players. We want to get them out against the best players. And they're very aware now on the ice, who they're on the ice with. And then you get a little older, you start having some respect for that, right? That as good a player as Jake and Morrissey are, Larkin's got some special speed, right? And there's three or four players on every team that are elite, and they have that awareness.
What was your keeping wise? Are you going to take an extra player over to
Yes.
Finland, or how does all
Yes.
that?
So you can bring up a non-roster third goaltender on a trip like this, and then but you're still only allowed the 23. We'll add one, yeah.
Okay.
Make that decision after tonight to see on health.
You are going to bring a third goaltender?
Yeah, we're allowed to bring a non-roster third goaltender on a trip like this, and then we'll bring 23 on the trip.
So
we're going to add
two additions.
Correct.
Might Christian Vesalainen be one of those? Too early to say.
It will be a player from the Manitoba Moose. Pretty sure about that.
So we'll wear number 93.
Seriously. Yeah, really good. Really good. Fitness is coming back. His hands are coming back. I had no problem playing him tonight or tomorrow. So for me, he's ready to go in the lineup. And then we'll just wait for an opportunity.
Will the back-to-back tomorrow be a body?
Those are all possible. We may sub you out tomorrow too, Weaver.
I'm ready.
If tonight's too tough on you, we may have to look for another guy.
That's your 23rd man right there.
There you go.
And just on having four Michigan guys, they only get one game a year here. So
yeah.
Special... always a special night, I guess, for those four especially.
It's really expensive. Yeah, really expensive night for them. Better than if you were in Toronto, which would be ridiculously expensive. But it is, right? Family comes and they get to spend some time. And when you raise a hockey player and he makes it to the National Hockey League, you get to throw on your kid's name and it's the same as yours and come to the rink and walk around with your sweater on. It's a pretty good day. Yeah, this is, in so many ways, this is home for me. Started in the mid-80s in Windsor, Detroit, worked here, started coaching the Detroit Junior Red Wings, and then worked at a Cobo Hall, believe it or not, the old Joe Louis Arena, and spent 11 years here, so this is my home.
Does this building, I know you were here last year, but does this building kind of blow your mind considering what it was with the Joe?
Yeah, we, you make it to the Stanley Cup final, and... the coach's office is in a restroom underneath the stands in Joe's Arena. So this is a considerable upgrade.